It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. At a campaign rally for former President Donald Trump in New York on Sunday, comedian Tony Hinchcliffe referred to Puerto Rico as a floating island of garbage in the middle of the ocean.
Afterward, in a statement, a Trump advisor said this, quote, joke does not reflect the views of President Trump or the campaign.
But some prominent figures, including the Archbishop of San Juan, are asking Trump to personally apologize.
Here in Wisconsin, there are more than 61,000 people of Puerto Rican origin. Milwaukee Common Council President Jose Perez spoke to WUWM about his family's roots and the offensiveness of what he heard.
It was rude, it was crass, it was racist. It feels extra hurtful knowing my mother lives there, I have so much family there, and what Puerto Rico means to our family and our culture, but especially Sting.
Now let's bring in Aurora Santiago-Ortiz, an assistant professor of gender and women's studies and Chicano-Latino studies at UW-Madison. She researches grassroots organizing in Puerto Rico and is joining us from its capital, San Juan. Aurora, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you so much. Hi, everyone, and good morning.
What do you make of the comedian's offensive remarks about Puerto Rico and the Trump campaign's response?
Well, honestly, a lot of us were not surprised. And of course, there was an outpouring of outrage across the archipelago and in the U.S. But it doesn't, you know, it doesn't mean that we're surprised at all. This sort of rhetoric has been pretty consistent throughout. And even when former President Trump was in office as well, and towards his treatment in Puerto Rico, especially after Hurricane Maria. And so his posture has always been really dismissive of the people that live here as well as those that live in the U.S. So really, a lot of us were not surprised at the remarks.
You being in San Juan right now, are people talking about this offensive reference to Puerto Rico? What do you hear?
Absolutely. All over social media here in Puerto Rico, people have been expressing their outrage and also, you know, knowing that the campaign has, you know, had to vet this joke before it was aired, it was said. So a lot of people are talking about how, even though it's not a surprise that this sort of speech is completely unacceptable, and also talking about the impact that Puerto Ricans can make in the elections in the U.S. as well.
Yes. Can you step back for a moment and give us a quick primer on the relationship between Puerto Rico and the U.S. and Puerto Rico having this limited voice in the federal government?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So since the U.S. Occupied Puerto Rico in 1898, the relationship has always been a subordinate one. And so Puerto Rico does not possess sovereignty, and the final rule of law is the U.S. Constitution, right? So there is a supremacy, there's a supremacy clause that the U.S. Constitution reigns supreme. And so in this unequal relationship and second-class citizenship that Puerto Ricans have, because we've been citizens since 1917, that means that not all aid has been available to us. And thinking again about the hurricane and what happened in 2017 of Hurricane Maria, former President Trump withheld $20 billion in funds for Puerto Rico for disaster recovery. Mm-hmm. And so that's just one example of the many of how Puerto Ricans have been treated here in the archipelago as second-class citizens. We cannot vote in U.S. presidential elections unless we move to the United States. And so folks here cannot have that impact in the elections. But of course, we have family members, we have friends in the diaspora that will definitely be voicing their concerns, and they will be taking to the ballots on Tuesday.
Puerto Rico, as you mentioned, had Hurricane Maria just devastate in 2017, and since then has been facing these persistent power outages, and in many ways is still recovering. What is holding back recovery?
Absolutely. So I think a number of things are holding back recovery. The first was the negligence from the federal government in dispersing the funds that we were absolutely entitled to receive. And so the trickling in of funds has been slow. We also are dealing with local corruption. As many folks know, in the summer of 2019, people organized a protest and eventually make the governor at the time, Ricardo Rosselló, resign for a number of reasons, but one of these being a telegram chat that was leaked with him and his cabinet and advisors speaking disparagingly about Puerto Ricans. So Puerto Ricans, we are very proud to be where we're from. And so we don't take lightly to these remarks as well. And so the rebuilding process has also been slowed down because the electric company was privatized and was not ready to address the infrastructural problems that happened post-Maria. So we have had a long recovery in terms of rebuilding infrastructure and a power company that is not equipped to deal with the infrastructural issues. And so all of these things sort of come together, and there are power outages almost daily here in the archipelago.
We're talking about the significance of Puerto Ricans in Wisconsin and the U.S. with Aurora Santiago-Ortiz, Assistant Professor of Gender and Women's Studies and Chicano Latino Studies at UW-Madison. We're reaching her in San Juan, where she's doing research. Aurora, what brings Puerto Ricans to the States and especially Wisconsin?
Well, I think there's been a historical sort of different waves of migration depending on the period of time. I think in the early 20th century, the government here in Puerto Rico, along with states, were really trying to get folks to move out of the archipelago to deal with what they called overpopulation. But really, they were being used for migrant labor in the United States. That has continued throughout the 20th century, but also climate change, climate disasters have forced people out. Economic crisis, right, that we've had. We had a debt crisis that has been upon us, especially after the imposition of a fiscal control board that has been tasked with restructuring the debt, which many think is not legal in its entirety. So there are different reasons that people have left the archipelago. Others in search of better working conditions because of the fiscal crisis that we have. And so we really see also a real influx of people coming in from the U.S. corporations, taking advantage of tax incentives for their companies, but driving up the rent prices, buying homes off of people from Puerto Rico, and creating a situation of displacement where people have had to leave forcefully the archipelago because they cannot afford the conditions and to live here. So those are some of the reasons that have led people to migrate out.
As you talk about those issues of a fiscal crisis, of exploitation, of a housing crisis, what are the top political issues, do you think, for Puerto Ricans?
I think that some of the top issues are really making Puerto Rico livable. Livable for the folks that want to remain here, the folks that want to be able to raise their children here. And that means access to health. That means access to schools. More than 40% of schools have been closed in Puerto Rico, public schools, very akin to what happened in New Orleans after Katrina. And so people want to be able to stay here and to be able to afford to live here first and foremost and deal with a crumbling health system. So there are many issues that are very pressing for people in Puerto Rico, but I think mainly is the right to be able to stay and live here and thrive.
As you mentioned, Puerto Rico has a big election as well coming up on Tuesday, voters electing a new governor. Can you tell us about what's at stake and the implications of this election?
Yes, of course. I think we're in a very exciting time where there's a possibility for the bipartisanship to be actually changed. We've had a two-party ruling system in Puerto Rico since we've had a Puerto Rican government from 1952 on. And I think now is a great opportunity there were other parties in the 50s, but since the 60s, I will say, now is an opportunity to change into a different kind of party that is really attentive to the needs of people here and that are not just leveraging the status of whether we're going to be a state or independent or stay as we are. There are folks that are in, there's an alliance that is formed between two parties that are really pushing forward a change for Puerto Rico. And I think that's been showing. I think that young people have been getting out in mass to register to vote. There's been a lot of campaigning and a lot of other folks that we don't traditionally see out there. And so right now there's like a, it feels like a change is possible and it's looming right there. The current pro-statehood party candidate is the resident commissioner in Washington, and she is a Trump supporter. And so she is sort of tried to distance herself from these comments. But really, we know that if, you know, she ends up being elected, it would be more of the same uneven and unequal relationship between the U.S. and Puerto Rico.
You mentioned the student political movements you're seeing. Are young people seeing a new vision for Puerto Rico?
I think that young people have always had a different vision for Puerto Rico, and I don't think that's always been in partisan politics. I think that they've always been taking sort of matters into their own hands in the sense of collective care, community support, mutual aid, addressing sort of the things that the government is supposed to do but doesn't do to address, you know, the survival needs of people. But I think that a lot of young people are galvanized to vote for this new alliance because they think that something else is possible. And I think that they feel heard in ways that the other two traditional parties have not heard young people. So I think that it's a very effervescent and fertile time for change to happen. We don't know what's going to end up happening. And hopefully the alliance will fulfill on its promises of elected. If they elect, you know, the mayor, they have a couple of candidates as well as governor. So we'll see what happens. But young folks have always been taking care of each other here in Puerto Rico.
Aurora, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was Aurora Santiago Ortiz, an assistant professor of gender and women's studies and Chicano Latino studies at UW-Madison. And she joined us from San Juan, where she's doing research, to talk about the significance of Puerto Ricans in Wisconsin amid the backlash against an offensive joke made at a Trump rally in New York City on Sunday.